Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Now, speaking of the UK, we've got the Ghost Hunter. We've got Steve Parsons, thanks for being on the show.
It's a pleasure, but I've got to apologise on behalf of the normal population of the UK. I don't know where this flat earth nonsense has come from in the last 18 months. It's become an epidemic on social media, on YouTube. There are whole panoply of sites dedicated to the proof. I was looking at one the other day. Now, not a UK one, this was a North American one. And this guy was, first of all, a flat earther, but was trying to sell the idea that the big jetliners, Boeings and Airbus, are all in, part of a big conspiracy because they don't fly. because they can't possibly carry enough gas to fly anywhere. So what they have is levitation devices. And he stood at Boston Airport with a video. Clearly, the guy knows nothing at all about relative motion or parallax or any of these things. But he's been churning out videos for the longest time now from just outside Boston Airport. So I'm going to give him a wave when I go over in September. Absolutely. I mean, where are they coming from?
Well, you know, I don't get it, because we had to interview the flat earthers. We interviewed one of the guys, and he was saying that the earth is flat from North Pole down, so it would be like taking the world and flattening it with your hand. So, but why they want to eliminate Australia now all of a sudden, I'm not sure why.
No, that doesn't seem to hang, does it? Yeah. It doesn't work. The most bizarre I came across on another radio show I host here in the UK was we decided we'd interview a flat earther as well, who came up with this idea that aliens were actually on the other side. They were underneath us, and they were just coming around the disc, because I posed the question, well, if it's flat, then what's underneath? And he said, well, that's where the aliens are.
You know, that's not such a bad thing.
well, it might have been, but he left himself open to a challenge, because he'd just been discussing how gravity doesn't work on a ball Earth, because it pulls everything down, and that's why we don't need gravity on a flat Earth. So it begs the question of, well, if they're underneath, why don't they fell off?
Now, here's a question for him, and I've always wanted to pose this one. What if we drill? You know, if we keep drilling, like we're drilling for oil, drilling for water, geological drilling, what are we ever going to punch through the other side of this pancake that we call Earth?
God, I hope not. Can you imagine? I mean, it's like those ice walls at the end of the flat Earth. If we punch through and all the sea drains out, we're done for.
Yeah.
It'd be like pulling the plug on the bath.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, geez, when I was young, they told me the other side was China. So, I don't know.
Well, we'll just have to have a giant cork ready, just in case.
But, you know, I have to say, now, doesn't this, you know, the Flat Earth group on Facebook has over 100,000 members now. So, that in itself, does this not kind of hurt us scientifically? Is this not taking away us looking at science as an answer or a way of discovering things? And that in itself, does that not affect the ghost hunting world and the paranormal?
Oh, I think it's an extremely sad indictment on the state of all exploration and investigation into the unusual, what we would call the supernatural, even the paranormal. Mm-hmm. Because if we wind the clock back, say, 20 years, we were just reaching a point in the UK where the amateur investigators, the lay investigators, were making good bridges and working with the academic community, those within parapsychology, for example, and some of the other sciences. But with the advent of, a lot of people lay the blame at television, and it certainly did light the fuse, but with the advent of that and this mass interest and these second and third waves of investigators, I'll call them what they call themselves, we've lost it. We've lost it, all of those links. We've gone back, we've regressed back to almost the Stone Age, the Dark Ages, where we're now, in the 15th and 16th century, if I may, things like poltergeist manifestations and other supernatural events that people experience were often attributed to devils and demons. And that's the situation that we've now reached, where every anomalous experience is invariably demonic. So we have fully regressed back to the medieval period, with witches and devils and demons attacking us and possessing us at every turn. And
do you think we went too far too fast, and that's what scared people back?
No, I wish I knew the answer. I mean, I've been involved in psychical research for over 40 years, and I wish, if I sound confused, I am, because there isn't an answer. I've sought the answer to what caused this. A lot of people attributed to television, with the advent in the UK of Most Haunted, in America you had Taps and Ghost Hunters. And yeah, I mean, that certainly showed people that ordinary people can explore the paranormal. And the interest in the paranormal has been there since the days of the Greeks, you know, the broadsheets in the 17th and 18th century. People have always been interested. People always loved a good ghost story. It always sold copy, as Dickens exploited every Christmas. So the interest been there, but television showed people that they could do it too. But
right.
Instead of it fizzling out and moving on to the next thing, what happened was it coincided with the advent of social media. Now, this is only my opinion. But social media then gives people the idea, the means to share and to sell ideas to one another, where they can get the latest piece of equipment from to show their results, to race back from their Saturday night ghost hunts and get their stunning EVPs online before the team hit the road. It allows people to declare that they're sensitive and to explore ideas and to compete about their degrees of sensitivity and to make interesting backstories about how they became sensitive. And I don't see any end to it. You know, year on year, I thought, well, maybe it'll dwindle. Maybe they'll move on to UFOs. Maybe they'll move on to cryptozoology and leave the ghosts alone for a little bit. And year on year, it gets more bizarre. And it's definitely in waves, or it's certainly in the UK, it's definitely in waves. I don't know whether that's the same in Canada and the US, but we had the first wave, which started in the early 2000s, led by Most Haunted and Ghost Hunters in the US. And that group of people explored the orb. They thought about what the orb would be. They played with Frank's boxes and other devices, and EMF meters were very popular. And then they did move on. A lot of them moved on. But we had a new wave of television programs led by Zach. And it became more bizarre. And what you can definitely see now is ghost adventure type ghost groups versus the old Most Haunted type ghost groups.
Right. It's more dramatic. The drama keeps going.
Yes, a lot more dramatic. And this immediate idea that everything is demonic, everything is evil, everything is out to get you. I mean, these were ideas that the Romans had and that the Chinese had, making offerings to placate the dead, to keep them away from the door. And we're back in that same situation in 2018.
And what I find annoying, and I'm going to catch some guff for saying this, is that the very players on the shows themselves, every other show, they're claiming to be possessed.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, are you that vulnerable? Should you be in this business if you're going to get possessed at every other location?
Well, it's good for television.
True.
what I think where the problem lies is social media and the millennial generation that's been brought up with social media now don't question the information source. They blindly accept and suck up the information like sponges. And when they see this on the media, and read on the social media and see on Facebook Live and YouTube, they just blindly accept without any form of questioning at all. If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Yeah, there's no scientific basis to a lot of these claims that are made, but if I see it on the internet, it must be true.
You try telling them that. And also, I mean, to a lot of people, it's become, growing up, you know, one of the things we used to do is in our teen years and early 20s was we would go out occasionally and we would go to a movie like The Exorcist or The Omen and have a good scary night with friends. But now you can become integral to that movie. Ghost hunting has become an interactive scary movie experience, and people demand more and greater scares. And the program makers who are feeding, you know, they need the viewers, they've got to sell advertising revenue. And, you know, the white lady drifting silently down the corridor, the headless monk, the headless horseman, they're also passe. People want, you know, they want Lucifer himself. It won't be long before Zach does. I'm convinced in one of the series, one of them is going to come face to face with.
Well, as Ryan Buell claimed with a Paranormal State. But let me put a different aspect on this, because I completely agree with you. And the original question is, when did this start becoming more demonic rather than the Scooby-Doo haunts? You know, I started doing this back, you know, before it was cool. You know, I actually started this in college, and we worked a lot with information from Lloyd Auerbach and what the Warrens had put into position. And, you know, I think what happened is people got disappointed with their findings. You know, they go to the locations looking for the ghosts, and they got disappointed, you know, because they weren't getting the results they wanted. So let's go to the next step and the next step until, like you said, you know, Beelzebub himself showed up and wiped out my entire group and I was the sole survivor.
You are so right. You are so right. The where this took place is this third wave. It's David, Zach, or Zach Bacon's as I call it. And this idea that you have to be confrontational, lockdown, and this body armor SWAT type approach to ghost hunting. I mean, they are literally ghost hunting, and their approach is highly confrontational. They're not interested in exploration, understanding, finding out the nuances of the psychopathology or the psychology or the environmental things that people might be misreading and interpreting as paranormal. They don't care. What they want is to go head to head with Beelzebub because it's good for ratings.
Well, but they're not going to be very happy when it happens.
I will be. but, you know, it's easy to criticise the ghost hunters for being the groups, the individuals, as being shallow and non-informed, blindly following the internet. I've, for the last couple of years, been berating the Society for Psychical Research and other leading organisations here in the UK and around the world, because they have never taken the leading role that they should have done. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if somebody had a haunting, the Society for Psychical Research was the go-to organisation. But there are no ghost hunters, or there are very few ghost hunters within the SPR now. It has become a branch of academic psychology. It is stuffed from top to bottom with psychologists. And of course, they are very much in the J.B. Ryan mould of spontaneous case investigation is worthless because only lab studies will ever prove anything useful and worthwhile. And the SPR has never taken a leading role and become an information resource for those who need the information. Within every group and organisation, however bizarre some of the beliefs and practices may be, there are a nugget of people who crave good quality information, who have a genuine desire to understand, but they haven't got the resources. They haven't been given the information. And so naturally they turn to the only information resource that they do have, and that is social media and the mainstream media. Because the SPR, mm-hmm. ASAP, the American Society for Psychical Research, the Parapsychology Association, the Parapsychological Foundation, none of them have ever really engaged with the lay ghost hunting community and said, look, this is the... we appreciate what you're doing. Let us help you. Let's work with you. Let us guide you. And together we might make some decent discoveries. It's happened in other branches of science. I mean, we've got any weekend, there are probably, here in the UK, there are certainly several hundred individuals with equipment operating in buildings that are said to be haunted, and those figures can only be amplified the other side of the Atlantic. And yet we're not seeing the results, and we're not seeing the results either because there's nothing to see, or it's meaningless in the way that it's being investigated.
You know, that would be absolutely incredible if they would. Do you think that they would be accepted, though? Because a lot of these groups, after a while, they think that they are the be-all and end-all. So if a credible organization would approach them, do you think that they would be well-received?
Initially, no. I don't. And that's been a problem when groups have tried to regulate or impose, and that's therein lies the problem. They come along to try and regulate and impose rather than offering out a resource. Now, the SPR has huge resources. It has case studies that go back into the 1880s.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There isn't very much that they don't know about the subjects. Well, I was going to say that there's a huge amount they don't know, but there isn't very much they don't know that isn't available to them. But those resources are not immediately available. Nobody, the SPR isn't proactive. It doesn't go out and say, let us work with you. Its conferences are prohibitively expensive for normal people to, you know, so it's the domain of the academic, and it's seen that way. So they're immediately, their approach alienates. You know, people went. It's got to the point now, actually, in the UK, where you ask some of the ghost hunting community, who have you heard of the SPR, and what do they do? You might, the most likely answer you'll get is that they haven't and that they don't. Occasionally, you'll get the answer that, well, yes, didn't they do? Weren't they thrown out of Enfield by the Warrens?
Yeah, you're right, but I would see it as a treasure trove myself. And you know, if they did begin to come out and share resources and begin to work with a lot of the serious groups, then a lot of these little pop-up groups, like you said, you just go on Facebook and Google Ghost Hunter and you'll come up with thousands of these little Scooby-Doo groups. And you know, those will begin to fall away, and I think that that would bring a lot more validity and credibility back to the field.
Hand on heart, I would say that certainly I'm mid-50s. I've been doing it since I was a teenager. I honestly think, hand on heart, that the ability and the credibility of ghost hunting in a sense of investigating in a meaningful way is lost in my lifetime. I think it will be 20 to 40 years before we get to where we were in the 90s. And that's firstly because of the nature of the way that the investigations have gone down the media and social media routes, where people are more intent on confrontational, instant result ghost hunting, where they have to get an EVP because they can't function unless they know the other side is talking to them. And also because of the move within the PA, the PF, the SPR, towards a hardline form of psychology-driven skepticism. And almost an attitude that anything less than academic is less worthy. You go back to the 1960s and 70s, the SPR had a good balance between academics and, psychologists and those who were interested in spontaneous cases. You had Alan Gould, you had Maurice Gross, you had innumerable great ghost hunters who were interested in studying these sorts of phenomena which are labelled as spontaneous. But they've passed on. The vacuum has been filled by psychology.
Wow.
Now your book, you've got the book Paracoustics and the Paranormal. Let's tell the listeners a little bit about that. Like what?
Well, there's actually more than one book.
Oh. Okay. Well, tell us about it then. What's behind it?
Well, paracoustics. My work on my PhD was looking at specifically sound as one of the environmental triggers, because sound is an incredibly important sense. It's one of the first senses that we're aware of, even in the womb. It's a sense that operates when we're unconscious, and it's a sense that operates whilst we're asleep. It is vitally important. And it plays a very, very important role in paranormal experiences, way more than vision or smell. And working alongside, I might be slamming the SPR earlier, but I do work, I'm a member of the committee of the Spontaneous Case Committee, the SPR, and I have a lot of friends who are psychologists and parapsychologists. And one of them was Dr. Cal Cooper, who was doing some work following the work of Alex Tanis and the telephone calls from the dead. And we realised that there was a book, that there was a lot of others doing research into spirit rapping. There was work being done at psychoacoustics. And so we decided we would try to combine some of the strands of the paranormal work that's being done relating to acoustics. And also it meant that I could get my research relating to very low frequency interactions, so infrasound interactions and the role it plays in people's paranormal reports. So that was the basis of paracoustics.
Yeah, something I found fascinating, Steve, is audio matrixing. That is, to me, that is fascinating. And you can show people how it works. Everybody thinks that they've got an EVP, but they'll bring you, they'll bring it to you. Oh, here, listen to this. And all you hear is static, or you hear some rustling. And they're like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? It said, come and help me. Well, no, I just heard static. Well, listen to it again. And the next time they play it, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's, was that part of your research, audio matrixing?
We did touch on it, but there's an entire chapter on electronic voice phenomena. It's interesting you talk about this matrixing or audio pareidolia, because there's a very good example that you can actually give people. The early series of Most Haunted had a regular, three or four times a year, they had a live show. And what they decided to include in the live shows, some of the live shows, at the start of the show, the start of the three-hour live show, they would play four EVP recordings. and get people to text in or phone in the studio with what they thought was said. And in the first hour, along the bottom of the screen, they would periodically put up, I don't know what it's called, like a ticker tape running along the bottom of the screen with what people are hearing. So they would say, EVP A, I'm going to kill you, EVP B, it's a lady's voice screaming, oh no you're not, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. And in the first hour, you would get an extremely broad spectrum of responses. You would get men, women, and children, an entirely random assortment of heard responses. As the show progressed, they would become much more tightly focused because people had read what others had heard, and then they went back and had another listen. And there's a saying that we have here in the UK, which, you know, or some of us have in the UK, which is the very best EVP is the one that's got the transcript. Because, you know, once you have been told what you're going to hear, you're priming the pump for expectation. If you've got belief and suggestibility already in there, they're going to hear it. They're going to hear whatever you tell them that they're going to hear.
You're front-loading them.
Well, when we do some public investigations, particularly around Halloween, you want people to have some form of experience, and then you want to try and get them to consider the experience and think about it. So you do a bit of a reveal, a bit of a letdown for them. And one of those is the Ghost Box, the Frank's Box Radio. And it is like crack cocaine.
You're right. It's addictive.
It's, you know, I know how it works. And you find, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself being carried along with listening to and hearing the sounds in the static. But it is just like crack cocaine. And it's very, very addictive to people who, well, even if they do understand it. So those who are primed, those who are suggestible, those who just paid their $50, £50 and gone on the experience, that in itself is a form of expectation, because you know you want some value for your money. And if the lady next to you is saying, that's a, did you hear that? It said your voice. Did it? Listen again. Oh my God.
Yes, or the face in the window in the photographs.
Oh yeah.
But you mentioned ultra low frequency. Tell us about that.
Well, in its simplest form, it's the exact opposite of the dog whistle. This high pitched sound that our ears can't hear. At the other end of the acoustic spectrum are very low frequencies that our ears can't normally hear. I say normally because there are exceptions. So sounds below around about 20 hertz. Our ears are not very good, and it changes with age, but below 20 hertz we were rather, you know, we're pretty incapable of hearing them. However, these very powerful, very low frequency sound waves can have quite profound effects on our physiology. They can disorientate us. They can make us feel anxious. They can actually alter our breathing. They can cause us all manner of strange psychophysiological effects. Now, you can't hear them, you can't smell them, you can't taste them. And if you're in a haunted building already on the ghost hunt that is in a high infrasound area, then the attribution is normally one of, well, that's paranormal. And infrasound is something that we've evolved with. It comes from a number of natural sources. For example, the jet stream, waves crashing against the shore, volcanoes, It's permanently all around us, but that's an incredibly low frequency, so single figures, single digit hertz frequencies. But there's a whole sort of new wave of low frequency infrasound that's quite different than the natural infrasound which we've evolved to deal with, and that's man-made infrasound. And this comes from machines, road traffic noise, aircraft, heavy industry, shipping, and that can have quite a an unsettling effect on us, on our psychology and on our physiology. It doesn't affect everybody. The research that I was involved with supports the idea that around about a third of the population can be quite affected by it, whereas two-thirds of the population aren't too affected by it. So what we're looking at is frequencies between about 5 hertz to around about 40 hertz as being instrumental in creating some paranormal-like experiences for groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to give the listeners the wrong impression. I mean, we're not, you know, saying that spirits don't exist.
God, man, I hope
not. But I think that basically what we're saying, to sum up our conversation, is that we've got to take a more serious approach and be more careful and actually do the homework that goes along with the parapsychology.
Well, I think what we have to do is, if we're ever going to understand that which is labeled paranormal, we have to first of all clear our way through the forest of the normal and the misunderstood. So the orb, pareidolia, the audio matrixing, which are well understood and are well explained by science, they can be put to one side and used, and we can move forward, we can progress forwards. But what we seem to be doing is constantly rediscovering the same phenomena and not revisiting the research and the work that's been done. And that's partly down to what I said before, the lack of resources, the lack of availability of the resources, and the blindness of those who seek and claim to seek and investigate, to not broaden their search.
Now, before we close, would you have any suggestions for the listeners who are interested in the field and would like to, you know, not necessarily go academic, but where could they get, you know, good information, you know, to start or maybe to supplement what they're already doing?
Well, I've got to mention my second book, which was called Ghostology, The Art of the Ghost Hunter, which is my attempt to try to offer some useful advice, some useful hints and tips. But I said earlier I've been berating the Society for Psychical Research over their lack of an outreach, and they have responded. And last year they commissioned a new guide note, set of guide notes for those people who want to investigate ghost hauntings and related phenomena. It's due for publication within the next month or so and is going to be available, I presume, via Amazon, and is going to be deliberately going to be very affordable. And that will be a stepwise. But the advice I would give anybody is question absolutely everything. Question yourself, question the information that you're being provided with. Look at all of the possible other explanations and consider them all against your beliefs. Lay your beliefs at the door of the haunted building and open your mind to all of the possibilities, because, you know, as you said before, we don't have the answers. And there is a good, there's an awful lot of very good case notes from cases that are strongly suggestive of the existence of, I should say, ghosts and spirits.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, our guest has been Steve Parsons. Steve, how can the listeners get in touch with you if they want to share experiences or get your books? How can one get in contact with you?
I have a Facebook page. I'm not one of these that rant on Facebook every 5 minutes. But there's Facebook, or both the books are available on Amazon. That's Paracoustics. And if you find Paracoustics, you'll find Ghostology. They both have very similar covers. So social media is probably the easiest way. Or my own website, which is www.thegghosthunter.webs.com.
Awesome. Well, Steve, this has been absolutely fascinating. I'm going to put you on the spot and invite you back again very, very soon.
And I accept.
Awesome. Well,
to find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.